Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. But first, if you thought booking your timeshare was difficult before, you know it's almost impossible now. For more than a decade, Lone Star Transfer has helped thousands of owners legally and permanently get out of their never-ending timeshare fees. Lone Star Transfer guarantees the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. For free, no obligation consultation, please call 855-551-7066 or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. On this Wednesday, with President Biden's job approval rating now below 40%, according to a new Associated Press poll, doom is approaching the Democratic Party. In fact, the only thing standing between that party and total collapse is Donald Trump. Many dumb voters are still so dismissive of Mr. Trump, they seem to be willing to vote again for an incompetent leader who is harming the nation in profound ways. Open border, punishing inflation for necessities, weakness abroad, that's just for starters. The Biden reelection campaign is headed by entertainment mogul Jeffrey Katzenberg, a liberal zealot. It raised a whopping $71 million in the third quarter of this year, almost double what Donald Trump raised. Much of the Biden money is coming from wealthy leftists, and if you work in Hollywood and old Jeff calls, you had better write that Biden check. Back in the late 1970s, Jimmy Carter was a deeply unpopular president who presided over gasoline shortages and a brutal economy. Iran humiliated Carter by holding 66 American hostages in Tehran. On the day Ronald Reagan defeated Carter, the mullahs released the American captives. Mr. Biden is a worse chief executive than Carter, in my opinion. If Donald Trump was not the leading Republican candidate, I think Biden's poll numbers would be even lower. No matter, I believe old Joe will not be on the ticket in 24. Back after this.
Hi, I'm Mike Baker, CIA veteran and host of the President's Daily Brief podcast. Stay informed on the rapidly unfolding conflict between Israel and Hamas as Israel responds to the deadly terrorist attacks. Tune in Monday through Friday for the most up-to-date insights. Download and listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Get briefed, stay ahead with the President's Daily Brief.
That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Don't forget this hour of Live and Local, brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7, vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. I was there about a week ago, had so much fun, and the music, the live music is just unbelievable. Every night of the week, I just love this. Coming up on the program, Aaron Phillips will join us, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent. That's Power, the number two, Parent. It's a parents' union. And if you're not a part of it, you need to become a part of it and do it soon, because it is absolutely amazing. Also, Michael Shouse will join us just after 8 o'clock. He is the political columnist and the founder of ShouseCreative.com. It is a branding company that helps you get your message out. My question is, how do you, deal with branding with an organization like the United States House of Representatives and the Republican Party, where they can't, they've got the majority, but they can't elect a speaker? That is something that we're going to take up with Michael Shouse in just a little bit. Also, at least one of the people you'll hear from is Chip Roy. If you don't know who Chip Roy is, he's a congressman from Texas. He is a supporter of Jim Jordan, and previewing what is going to happen in just about an hour from now, supposedly, that we're going to end up with another vote on the floor of the United States House of Representatives. Will Jim Jordan have enough to get to 217? We don't know. That's what's so weird about this whole thing, that we just don't know what's going to happen. 20 Republicans voted for somebody other than Jim Jordan yesterday. Will it be the same today? We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up. Aaron Phillips joins us from Power to Parent, and Marla Letitia, a.k.a. Nanny Bubby, she'll join us as well, too. We are talking about a lot of different stuff, so stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Have made the switch to Findlay Chevrolet. 215 at South Rainbow. Find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Findlay Chevy is a place to buy. Home of the...
I'm attorney Paul Powell. Hiring the right lawyer can make a huge difference. It can decide how much money you put in your pocket. If you've been injured in an accident, call me right now. 728-5500.
Paul Powell. More lawyer. Less fee.
Hey, Nevadans, prescriptions can be expensive. Let the Array RX discount card be your solution. Now available to all Nevada residents. Simply sign up for free, show your pharmacist your digital card, and save money. Receive discounts of up to 80% on certain medications. There are no age or income restrictions, and it only takes a minute to enroll. Visit ArrayRxCard.com to learn more and sign up today.
This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcaster Association and this station.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Israel says it has drone video and other evidence proving it was a terrorist missile that leveled a hospital in Gaza. Hamas has blamed Israel. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen says hundreds were killed.
The missile hit the hospital not long after dark.
Ya Allah! Ya Allah! Ya Allah!
You can hear the impact. The explosion destroyed Al-Atli Hospital. The building was flattened.
President Biden arrived in Israel earlier today.
I want to say to the people of Israel, their courage, their commitment, their bravery is stunning. It's really stunning. I'm proud to be here.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
After arriving in Tel Aviv, the president met one-on-one with Prime Minister Netanyahu before gathering with Israel's war cabinet.
This will be a different kind of war because Hamas is a different kind of enemy.
We will continue to have Israel's back as you work to defend your people.
The president expressed horror over the atrocities carried out by Hamas terrorists, even as he spoke of the need to help innocent Palestinians caught in the middle of the conflict.
To Capitol Hill, where the House of Representatives remains without a speaker. In yesterday's first round of voting, Congressman Jim Jordan fell short in his bid for the speakership, but the Ohio Republican is not throwing in the towel.
We're going to keep going. I've had great conversations, great discussions with our colleagues, and frankly, no one in our conference wants to see any type of coalition government with Democrats. So we're going to keep working, and we're going to get to the vote.
20 Republicans refuse to support Jordan. Another vote is planned for late morning. In the meantime, all business in the House is on hold. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 144 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. Amazon about to increase its footprint here in Southern Nevada. The e-commerce giant has bought more than 300 acres in the El Dorado Valley for $48 million. The company spokesperson confirms that deal with the Las Vegas Review-Journal, but would not talk about any plans for the property, saying those plans were in the very early stages. The 300 acres are located west of the 95 and southwest of I-11 by the Boulder Solar Farm. That property well within Henderson city limits. City officials expressed excitement about the deal and potential plans for the site. Amazon has invested nearly $9 billion in Nevada since 2010, creating more than 16,000 direct jobs. The company has opened more than 50 new fulfillment centers, delivery stations, and same-day delivery sites across the U.S. so far just this year. With the holiday season coming up, Ethel Lamb's Holiday Cactus Garden Lights getting ready to celebrate its 30th anniversary. The holiday tradition returns November 3rd with a new cafe, cocktail bar, and all kinds of treats for the family to enjoy. The Cactus Garden will be lit up nightly from 5 to 10 through December 31st. The first weekend is free. After November 5th, all guests will be charged a $2 entry fee that will be donated to Three Square Food Bank and Help of Southern Nevada. Glittering lights at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway is getting some company this holiday season. The World of Illumination is bringing its Rocking Christmas drive-through light and audio show to the M Resort in Henderson. The mile-long symphony of sight and sound that'll be open Tuesday through Sunday from 6 to 10 in the evening, beginning November 17th, running through the 31st of December. Pre-sale tickets available starting at $39.99. For more details, visit nevada.worldofillumination.com. Take AM670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Troubles with the curb this morning on the east side of the valley. A new accident on 95 northbound at Charleston. It's already slow in the area because of an accident in the downtown Las Vegas area. 95 northbound near Las Vegas Boulevard. Three-car accident, so expect to be pretty tight there on 95 northbound from Boulder Highway all the way to the downtown Las Vegas area, closer to Las Vegas Boulevard before that starts to move better there on northbound 95. Moving along safely, though, on I-15 and 215. It'll be another sunny, warm day in southern Nevada. Heights high back into the low 90s this afternoon. Still 64 degrees, though, right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th president of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settle. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
I'm the king of the world!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local. Good to have you with us. Always good to have our friend Erin Phillips on. She is the president and co-founder of Power 2 Parent. That's Power, the number two, Parent. It's a parent union. And I always like to say there's a lot more of us than there are teachers in the teachers union. So we'll be talking about that in just a bit. But first, Erin, good morning. It's always good to have you on. You had a big event last night relative to artificial intelligence, something that scares everybody and their brother. What did you learn last night?
Well, good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. And we had a really exciting event last night, you're right, about AI. And, you know, AI is one of those things that it's here, it's changing quickly. And as parents and grandparents and teachers, we really need to understand the way that it operates in, you know, how our kids are using it, how it's going to change the face of education in the future. It's already changing education and really the job market, you know, and the job market is always changing. But, you know, you hear so much about AI taking away jobs. And so I thought it was really interesting because not only is this a tool for teachers and educators, it really is a tool that's going to help students learn. And I think that was a really important takeaway from last night. And these kids are going to have to learn how to supervise AI. So there are going to be millions and millions of jobs that are going to be automated, that are going, AI is going to really, those jobs are going to go away. But I think it's so important for parents and especially for teachers to know that there are going to be also millions of jobs created by AI because AI has to be supervised by a person. And so if we are just afraid of the technology and not willing to engage and not use it, you know, we are going to be behind and so are our kids. And so I think it's just so important for our just education system as a whole, our school system, to embrace it and help kids learn how to use it instead of saying, don't use it. You know, you can get in trouble, you can cheat. And I think we are doing our kids a disservice if we aren't understanding and learning how to use the technology.
Is AI off in the future or is it here now, in particular when it comes to educating our kids?
So it's here. You know, I mean, there are so many tools that our kids actually have already been using and we have also been using that are now incorporating AI technology into those tools. So Khan Academy is a program that many, many, many teachers and students use really for a lot of different subjects, but for math especially is the big one. And there's a Khanmigo, which is sort of the beta test phase of AI for Khan Academy, but it's essentially a tutor. And so you have these programs that our kids are going to be using in school and that we could start embracing, that they are able to have more of a one-on-one experience with a teacher or a tutor. And we see the data, you know, that is being collected by students who are using these kind of one-on-one technologies, and they're improving. So you can take a student's achievement, you know, really to the next level when you're utilizing AI technology, and they are doing that in a lot of places. And, you know, I don't know if you are aware of this, but I'm the president of a charter school, and so Pioneer Technical Academy is opening in the fall here in Las Vegas will be one of the first, actually will be the first school in the state that is going to be utilizing AI technology starting in kindergarten. And so I think that's happening more nationally and we need to start really embracing that here.
Again, Erin Phillips joining us, the president and co-founder of Power 2 Parent. And when it comes to training our teachers, is the district, is CCSD, are they aware of where we are with AI? Are they leading or are they following?
You know, I haven't seen anything coming out of the district here, really, or anywhere in the state, to be honest, that is really championing this idea of utilizing AI technology. But, You know, I think another aspect that we need to think about, and this is something we didn't discuss too much at our event, but we need to think about what are the policies that are going to be being put in place in the district, in the state, in regards to AI. And I think that needs to be a conversation that we're having right now that I haven't been hearing that's being had, because, you know, there are ethical implications of AI. We're aware of those, you know, kind of those questions that are coming up. Are kids going to cheat, or is it going to create learned helplessness in our kids? And so those are the questions that we need to be able to answer and kind of be ahead of the game. And so, again, this technology is changing so quickly, Kevin. I mean, it wasn't open. ChatGPT wasn't open to the public until I believe it was November, December last year, 2022. And so we're not even a whole year into having this technology open as a tool for the whole public. And yet we're already on like the third version of it. And so, you know, there's a lot of conversations about should they even release the ChatGPT version number 5.0, which is, you know, I think Elon Musk has weighed in and said maybe we shouldn't release it. But it's an interesting conversation to have because, you know, it's learning so quickly. We don't even know what it's learning, and that's how fast it's learning. But there are countries all over the world that are not that aren't really weighing these ethical questions, and they're going to release this technology, and they're going to be the ones that are utilizing it. So we have to make sure we're having these conversations, not just on a national scale. Obviously, that is ideal. But as parents and as teachers within a district, what are the ethical implications, and how do we set some guardrails up for our kids and help them learn how to use it, but in an ethical way?
The teachers of tomorrow are in our schools of education today. Are they fully embracing AI? And do you get a sense that the teachers that are going to be in the Clark County School District a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, that they're going to be fully embracing AI? Or is it a matter of they're going to be, people are going to say, too scary for me, man?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be kind of a divide that is already happening now. So, you know, if you're one of those teachers that is afraid of the technology or just doesn't know anything about it and doesn't really want to learn, I do think you're going to be left behind, you know, because you've got AI technology that is being utilized in the classroom. And so, yes, I mean, your question about, you know, the kids who are in the classroom right now who will be our future teachers, they are using AI. And so, you know, I mean, even something as small as Snapchat, for example, has been using AI technology. You know, and as an adult, if you don't regularly use Snapchat, which I don't know a lot of adults who regularly use Snapchat, then you may not even know that your child has been using that for some time now. And again, there's some ethical implications. We know some of those Snapchat bots on those platforms were getting a lot of negative messages and creating some real issues for kids. And so that's why I think if you're thinking about it, if you're hearing me talk about it, you should absolutely be doing some research. And again, there are technologies that are going to be really valuable if we learn how to use them and harness them correctly in the classroom. It's just it has to happen, or we're going to be left behind. Our kids are going to be left behind in those classrooms. But I think teachers are going to be left behind if they're not willing to adapt and learn the technology.
Aaron Phelps joining us, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent. What is the latest on the Clark County School District and the battle with the teachers union, which may or may not end up being decertified? Can you bring us where we are now?
Yeah. You know, so this last week, the Clark County Education Association did challenge the law that prohibits teacher strikes. So in Nevada right now, it's illegal for the public sector employee unions to strike. And so that's been the battle, is that there was the sick outs and they were saying that that was not being coordinated by CCA. And then judge, you know, actually disagreed and said that they were organizing those sick outs. And so, you know, and we spoke out against that just based on the fact that you have so many kids that are already so far behind because of COVID, and then they are missing more classroom time. And so, you know, a judge agreed with that they should not be doing that. And then so now what they're doing, instead of saying that they're not organizing those sick outs, which was their kind of their stance before, now they're saying, well, we should be able to do these strikes. And so they're filing lawsuits. I believe they just filed one on Monday to do that. And so, you know, I think, again, whenever you get these types of strikes, you know, when you're a teacher and you have agreed to take on a position that affects people's children, you know, and you know exactly what you're getting into. And we love our teachers and we value our teachers. And again, we believe that this contract dispute needs to be settled and we need to work it out. But the reality is that no matter who's right or who's wrong in this dispute, our kids are the ones who are in the crossfire. And so if they're the ones who are most hurt by a teacher who doesn't go to school. And so, you know, so that's where we're at right now. And so we're, you know, we've seen that the Clark County School District has come back a number of times with some different sort of during this contract negotiation. You know, they've offered almost very close to what the teachers union is asking in regards to teacher compensation. And CCEA has turned it down. And in fact, come back with a higher ask. And so the question has to be to the teachers union, and this is not the teachers, because I think oftentimes these teachers don't feel like the union does represent them. And if they are decertified, you know, I think that would be an interesting scenario. But, you know, because there's so many teachers already in the district who do not have CCA representing them, they're not paid union members, but yet they have, you know, they have the ability to negotiate contracts. So, anyway, I think that CCEA has rejected all of those offers from the district. And so you have to look at that and go, what are we really doing here? You know, are we really looking for a raise? Are we really looking for, you know, higher compensation? Or is there something else deeper that's happening? And I mean, that's a conclusion that I think people have to draw based on the facts. But, you know, we have to resolve this. And I think that both parties need to, again, come to the table and agree on what is going to help our teachers and our students get back to the classroom.
What would decertification mean to teachers? But more importantly, what would it mean to our to students and their parents?
So, well, to students and parents, I mean, I don't know if it would mean a whole heck of a lot, to be honest. But, you know, what we know is that it's the union that has the most members. They have to have a certain percentage of the members, because there's multiple unions, there's multiple teachers unions, but the one with the most members gets the collective bargaining power. And so that's what's happening right now with CCEA, is they have bargaining power. They always talk about having 18,000 members. I think that they hold that number really close. I'm not sure if that number is accurate. I don't think anybody really knows, because there's so many teachers that have left the union. And so, but what we see is that you have so much of the money that comes directly out of a teacher's paycheck. I think it's about $1,000 a year right now that a teacher as a part of the union pays into to be a part of the union. And that money, a lot of that money, you don't, as a teacher, get to really decide where it goes. And so you're being sort of promised representation and help and certain things. And frankly, teachers can get that from a union. And oftentimes what we hear is union is actually not really helpful when it comes down to those disputes. And so, you know, as a teacher, you have education associations that you can be a part of where you buy into it, essentially similar to a union, but it's not a union, and you get insurance and, you know, legal protection and things like that. So I think a lot of teachers don't realize they don't need to be a part of a union to have some of the protections they believe the union's giving them. And then on the reverse side, that union we know gives 90% of their contributions, campaign contributions, to Democrats. And so, you know, you have in this last cycle, Steve Yeager, who is the assembly speaker, was given $200,000 by CCEA, the union, the teachers union. And so you have to look at that dollar amount and say, okay, is there a conflict of interest between a public sector teachers union whose salary essentially is paid by the legislators who make those decisions, funneling money into those campaigns? So what we see is there's just not a lot of accountability when it comes to how our money is spent. And if you're a teacher, there is no accountability if you're a teacher who's a part of the union. You know, and they say that they take votes on things and things like that, but there's really no proof that happens. And there's a lot of teachers who also don't feel like their voice is heard, and they're not really represented within the union. So I think there's a lot of implications about defunding unions, and also, you know, is there a huge conflict of interest in general between public sector unions, meaning public employees, their salaries are paid by the public, by tax dollars, and being able to unionize and then give campaign contributions to those same folks who give them their salaries.
Speaking of unions, you head up a major union of parents. It's called Power to Parent Union. Can you talk a little bit because I talk with parents all the time. I talk with teachers all the time, and everybody is frustrated by how this thing is going down. Can you talk a little bit about Power to Parent and the recruiting that you're doing to get parents to sign up?